Once upon a time, there was a little man named Bilbo Baggins, whom we met last week. Now, Bilbo was a very common man, not the kind you would expect to embark upon a great adventure. In fact, Bilbo was quite timid about venturing outside his agreeable home in the Shire. His idea of a good evening was to sit in front of the fireplace, smoke his pipe, and read the newspaper. A creature of habit, Bilbo Baggins was as comfortable as an old shoe. But one day, this ever so cozy creature left the Shire and began a trek in search of treasure. He faced many dangers and had many close shaves, but finally, he came to the treasure chest. Only one thing stood between him and the end of that rainbow, a fierce dragon. But Bilbo Baggins, that very ordinary man, slew the dragon and the treasure was won. And upon returning home, he was a changed man. But he was not the same. He had lost one life and discovered another. His adventure, his journey to the dragon's den had changed him forever. Now, you probably recognize Bilbo Baggins from J.R.R. Tolkien. Perhaps you've read it yourself or seen the movie. You need to know that this tale, like all fairy tales, are written to teach us how to live, how to venture out into the world to confront even dragons. And that's precisely the point of stories in Scripture, to teach us how to venture out into the world to face our own dragons. These are stories of real human beings, women and men so very like ourselves. The Scriptures are filled with countless Bilbo Baggins, common folks who do very uncommon things. Clearly, God must have a particular fondness for common folks. And when they respond faithfully, they receive a great blessing. Their lives are transformed. They become new people. And there's one biblical hero who illustrates this truth the best. Paul holds him up as our example, the father of all who live by faith. We're speaking, of course, of Abraham, the Bilbo Baggins of the Bible. Paul says, if you want to know what faith looks like, consider Abraham. He risked everything at a very advanced age, left his comfortable home, and started on a grand adventure in search of a promised land. Along the way, Abraham and his wife faced many difficulties, dangers, and disappointments. Yet Paul wrote about him, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Now, what moved Abraham and his family to leave the comfort of Ur of the Chaldees and trek across the desert like a nomad, not knowing where he was going? Hebrews 11 says, because God came to Abraham and made a statement that I will paraphrase. I'm going to bless you in a new land, but first you must surrender your old life. There will be dangers, toils, and snares, but in the end, there will be a great blessing, not only for your family, but for all the families of the earth. And on top of that, I'm going to make your descendants a great nation. Now, I've often wondered, as perhaps you have, exactly how Abraham heard that promise. In a dream, a vision, a voice? We just don't know. Nor do we know exactly how he shared that amazing promise with his wife, Sarah, or how she responded. Can you imagine the discussion around the dinner table? How many times did Sarah ask him, "Are you out of your mind, old man?" But here is the marvel of it. Abraham bought it hook, line, and sinker. He believed what God promised. He simply trusted this mysterious word from God, and then he staked his life on it. That's trust, unswerving trust. The whole story is centered on God's promise, a promise to both Abraham and Sarah. And now the double tension in this story is this. First, will God keep that promise? And second, will Abraham and Sarah keep trusting that promise? The tension is heightened by one incredible obstacle. Dragons guarding the treasure, if you will. The most poignant difficulty is pretty obvious. Abraham and Sarah are not spring chickens. Actually, they're very senior chickens. And the text reveals the sad truth. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing. Well, how old? Abraham is 99, and Sarah is 90. Can you put that into your mind and imagine? And yet God promised them a child, descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens and the sands on the seashore. Now, several years ago, I performed a wedding ceremony unlike any I've ever done, then or now. I performed the wedding ceremony for my 94-year-old mother, Catherine. She married the love of her life, Vern, who checked in at 98. By the way, they sat through the ceremony. Standing was not an option. Now, at the wedding reception, this is what did not happen. Three angels did not announce to the happy couple that my mother was with child. No, that did not happen. Thank you, God. But it did happen to Abraham and Sarah. Can you believe it? How did they react to this promise? They both laughed out loud, and who wouldn't? With both feet in the geriatric unit, you don't expect to set foot in the nursery. And yet, they hang on to that promise, and their laughter turns into Isaac, the child of promise. And God laughs with them. The wonder of it all, a child for the centennial couple. And they named him, quite appropriately, Yitzhak, Isaac, which means he laughs, because they did. Now, Paul gives in our passage, in my opinion, the very finest definition of trust in the entire Bible. Listen, he says that Abraham believed God, quote, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. To believe that God can create something out of nothing, ex nihilo, that's trust. To hold on to the seemingly absurd promise that God can make a way where there is no way. Out of the barren womb of a 90-year-old woman, God creates life? And yet that's what Abraham believed, which put him in a right relationship with God. Now, you know the rest of the story. It takes a very unexpected turn, doesn't it? Isaac turns into a youth, and God speaks again to Abraham, a word he does not seem to share with Sarah. It's a heartbreaking summons. God tells Abraham to take Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. The one who gave him life now asks for that life. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Can Abraham say, blessed be the name of the Lord? It must have been for Abraham an incomprehensible divine command, and for us as well. And yet, Abraham hangs on to the promises of God, even when he cannot understand the ways of God. In this excruciating test, the giver of life demands life back. And Hebrews 11 suggests that what was going on in Abraham's heart was this. Abraham considered that God is able to raise someone from the dead. Maybe even Isaac, the one to be sacrificed. Out of nothingness, new life can emerge. That's what Abraham seems to believe was possible. And in the mercy of God, Isaac was spared, and a ram in the thicket became the sacrifice. Through it all, the venture south, the barren womb, the test on Mount Moriah, Abraham keeps the faith. Not that he was perfect. Oh, no, if you know the story, Abraham shows himself to have feet of clay numerous times. But still, he hopes against hope. Hopes against hope, which means he hoped in God's promises against all other shallow hopes and wishes, those wishful thinking that we do all the time. This is trusting that God can overcome impossible odds. And if you miss Paul's point, then the apostle reminds us that our faith as Christians is much like Abraham's. We are called to trust in him who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. To be a Christian is to trust that God, who keeps promises, will continue to keep promises despite a barren womb, despite a dreadful test atop Mount Moriah, and despite a cruel execution atop Golgotha. A God who comes to all of us in the midst of our broken dreams and our lonely sadness. Despite it all, through it all, God remains the God of promises, who offers new life to us in our struggles. To trust in God is resurrection faith. So to trust in God is to have courage, as the American theologian Paul Tillich once said, courage. It's that courageous faith that transforms Bilbo Baggins into a slayer of dragons. It's a courageous faith that transforms an aging couple, they really were old, into nomads hoping for a promised child in a promised land they had never seen. It's the opposite of fear. It's why angels always have to say the same thing every time they appear. Fear not. Don't be afraid. It's a courageous faith that transforms people of fear into people of faith. Trust is transformative and even it's even contagious. Others take heart when they see your heart is stayed on God's promises. Now, I'm reminded of an old cartoon. It shows two birds sitting on a branch. But one bird is wearing a bulky parachute. Think about it. The other bird says, "Sheldon, the trouble with you is your lack of faith." It's kind of silly, isn't it, for a bird to pack a bulky parachute? It's kind of silly for people of faith to pack fear. Out on a limb, we're called to take a leap of faith. Maybe it's time for some of us to remove that bulky parachute, whatever it is that's holding on to us in fear. Sisters and brothers, this is the challenge. We're called to be pilgrims in this world in search of a great treasure, and to leave our comfortable shire to search for treasure, guarded at times by dragons. In Christ, our life can become a great adventure, overcoming dragons and obstacles of all kinds, fears within and foes without, hurdles that seem absolutely impossible to overcome. And yet, the God of promises finds a way where there is no way. God is able. God is able. Where it looks hopeless, there is still hope against hope. And this is the way of faith, that God will keep those promises, "Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age," in the best of times, the worst of times, even when hope seems lost. we cling to the promises of God. So sisters and brothers, will we trust this God who goes before us, even when we do not know where we're headed? God is there beckoning us forward. So may I suggest, take off your parachute and trust the wind beneath your wings. And out there on a limb, have a little faith. Have a little faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.